This morning, we're going to talk about the power of faith. We're going to look about God's call for us to trust Him. We're going to do that by looking to Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. If you have brought your own Bible or you have a phone that you're reading on from, I encourage you to keep it open as we'll go back to it. Hear from God's Word. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into a boat and go ahead of Him to Bethsaida. Well, He dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, He went up to the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when He saw him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out to Him because they all saw Him and were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then He climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard He was. And whenever He went out into the villages, towns, or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged Him to let them touch even the edge of His cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Anyone ever been to the CN Tower? Did you know that 2 million people visit the CN Tower every year? But did you know that out of the 2 million people that visit the CN Tower every year, only a minuscule amount actually walk across that glass floor that they have for you to look down on the city of Toronto? Anyone ever stood on that glass floor, jumped on that glass floor, walked across? Did you know that you doing that actually takes an act of faith? You have faith in the material is going to uphold you. You have faith in the engineers that have built it. You have faith believing that those who are much heavier than us have walked across it and survived. But did you also know that if you've gone up on the CN Tower knowing all of that and not walked on the glass floor, which I refuse to do, you're actually missing the opportunity of a lifetime? I think the same is true in faith, isn't it? When you and I are invited to trust in a God who's proven Himself over and over again, who says, "Come, step out into the water and walk," that we miss it. This morning, there is a storm. Storms are things that disturb the atmosphere, and there is rain, there is hail, there is sleet, there are thunderstorms, there could be tidal waves. But it's also a tumultuous event in life that throws us off in the normal pattern that we face. I think recently, I shared this with the executive at our last meeting, is I had the opportunity to get a phone call. Now, most phone calls that I get aren't the phone calls that you want to get. But I got this phone call saying, "Friends of my neighbor, my dad is sick. Would you come and see him?" Absolutely. Dad went from getting a diagnosis of being sick to being palliative in a matter of days. And they all hoped and they all longed for him to be there when his daughter got married, which was to be months away. But in fact, it ended up needing to be days away. And so we did that. But there, as I sat by the bedside of this man, we were talking about his life and what it meant, and we began to talk about what a Christian funeral would look like. And there the family with tears in their eyes were retelling his story. He, as he was sitting there, was telling what he wanted for his funeral. It was all too quick. They weren't ready for it. It was as if their life had been thrown in a chaos, and there, amidst the storm of life, I got to be that sense of peace, that calmness in the storm. But I think we get the illustration, don't we? Because we know what the storms of life are like. We have a family that maybe we don't all get along. Maybe we're filled with bitterness. Maybe we look at what's going on politically around the world, predominantly as you think of the United States, and you wonder, how do you make sense of it? Or you go to Quebec and you see people who have gone to church to worship, or the mosque actually, and they're shot. To find out days later that another one has been egged and windows have been broken. Storms are scary, aren't they? Storms are unpredictable. Storms leave us wondering, what are we going to do? Where are we going to look? How are we going to make sense of it? Jesus had just finished doing a miracle, but a short time away. We don't know if it's minutes or if it was a half an hour or an hour, but we know that the miracle had just happened. Jesus fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, realistically, we know that there were women and children there. Marriage was common at this time, and so were children. Children were a sign of blessing, of prosperity, and they would have had numerous children there. If we are conservative in nature, the feeding of the 5,000 is really, at minimum, 15,000 people. Fed with 5 loaves of fish or bread and 2 fish. And the disciples couldn't wrap their head around what had just happened. I mean, we see the full fridge. We see the job that we've been offered, the exam that has been passed, the house that is warm, the relationship that's been started. And sometimes we just can't make sense of it, can we? Storms have a way of doing that. They have a way of getting us sidetracked, that we lose perspective, that we take our eyes off of Jesus and we get so caught up in the storm that we miss the blessing in the storm. The miracle had just happened. And Jesus puts the disciples into the boat, and here's what it says. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off the lake for Capernaum. But now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind began to blow, and the waters grew rough. Ever notice how God has a way of showing up? Because remember what has just happened. Jesus was reminding the disciples that he was with them, that he was God, that they could be victorious in the storm. Because in the first 5 chapters of the book of Mark and the book of John, we begin to see a man with an unclean spirit had been healed. The power and the might and the majesty of God was revealed. He healed the multitudes. The might and the majesty and the power of God was displayed. He healed a leper. Again, his power and his majesty and authority. He had healed a paralytic man. The first 5.5 chapters of the book of Mark, he was showing them who he was. He was inviting them to place their faith and their trust in God, that they would see the miraculous works that he had done and that they could do through him. And now he feeds the 5,000. And then they get into a boat. They're about 3.5 miles from shore. They've been rowing for 9 hours, wondering if the boat was going to make it. They were wondering how they would make sense of all this. wondering if they would ever survive. Have you ever felt like that? Ever been in the midst of the storm and we get distracted? And we begin to place our faith in other things other than God? In fact, if you translate the passage quite literally, when it says that they were at the oars and they were straining, it actually means to be painful, to be conflicted, to be strained, to be under the burden of the weight that they were facing. And yet in every church on any given Sunday, we see it. It may not be the ocean. It may not be the water that Jesus walked on. But it's disease and it's disability. It's stubbornness. It could be an addiction. It could be loneliness. It could be the fear of rejection that has us straining at the oars of life, trying to just survive. But notice what's happening in our text. Jesus isn't with them yet, and yet he is. Physically, he's on the shore. Well, they are straining for their life in the water. But the text says, he was on the shore and he saw them straining. Ever thought about that? There is a storm that is raging around this boat, ready to take it under, and God could still see them. There they are, 3.5 miles away. I don't know what it is for you, but sometimes I have a hard time seeing the end of the street. But 3.5 miles away, and Jesus could see them. Jesus knew exactly what the disciples were thinking. He knew exactly what they were feeling. He knew they were wondering if they were going to make it. He knew that their faith was being challenged. He knew they were wondering if they would even survive. And so Jesus, after a period of time, 9 hours, right, they'd been straining, now comes out onto the water and he walks. I don't believe he was soaked by the waves or anything like that. He didn't run, although he could have run. He could have, from the shore, simply said, "Be still," and the water would have been still. But he waited until he got into the boat. He could have went to the disciples, whether they believed or not. But you see, as Jesus is walking by the boat, he wants them to place their faith and their trust. He wants them, as the multitudes have come before, to call out to him, that they would see his authority and his power and his might and his majesty, that they would recognize him for who he really was. That they would see his transcendence. That they would see his authority and his holiness and his goodness and his majesty. That they would see that he is, I am who I am. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who can do the impossible. And they're deeply troubled. Because, you see, they thought they'd seen a ghost. But can you really blame them? I mean, if you have been straining for 9 hours, fighting for your life, you're tired. I'm sure you're not even thinking clearly at that time. And then Jesus comes to them and he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I." In fact, he's taking you back to the Old Testament, to the statement that Moses knew of, "And I am who I am." He, in saying, "It is I," is saying, "It is God. The Holy One is with you." And then notice what happens. Peter has faith. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, ask me to come onto the water." And what does Peter do? Peter gets out of the boat and Peter walks on water. But it's only when Peter saw the waves and he saw the storm and he saw all that was going on that he began to sink. You see, it's when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. When he took his eyes off the one who held him and who sustained him and who would carry him, who enabled him to walk and do the impossible, that he began to sink. And I think the same is true for you and I. You and I are able to be victorious in the midst of the storms of life. You and I are able to walk by faith. Things just don't make sense. But it's when our eyes begin to get off of Jesus that we begin to sink, that our circumstances begin to overwhelm us. And it's there that Jesus says to you and I, "It is I. Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid." Delman tells this story, which is pretty close to our story, of a young sailor and his wife who were getting into a boat. They were going on a vacation. And he had just come back from military duty, and the storm began to get rough. And his wife began to be very afraid, and so she began to cling on to him. And so he pulled out his sword, and he put it to his throat, and he said, "Are you afraid?" And she said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Well, why are you not afraid?" And she said, "Because I know you love me, and you will take care of me." He put the sword back into his whatever they call it that they put it in, that thing. And you know, he said, "In the same way, I trust in God who will always take care of me and provide for me." Jesus, let's deal with the difficult question. Where was he? Why did he let him stay by the seashore? Why did he stay by the seashore for 9 hours? Why did he let him strain for so long? Well, I think there's two reasons. The first one sets a bit of context. Is if Jesus wouldn't have set the disciples aside, they, along with all of the other people that experienced the miracles, would have been ready to crown Jesus their earthly king right there and then. But remember, Jesus wasn't coming to set up an earthly kingdom, but an eternal kingdom. And so he sends them aside so they don't begin that process. But the second thing is that Jesus stays by the seaside so that he could pray. He did that at the miracle of Capernaum. He did that in our text. He does that after the last meal before Judas is going to betray him. And he prays. Now, what does Jesus pray? Go to the book of John. Go to the 17th chapter and you'll learn that Jesus is praying for himself, that he would be faithful to the call that his Father had laid for him, that he would go to the cross and he would die for us. He prayed for his disciples that they would be faithful in carrying out their task of advancing the kingdom. But we also know from John 17 that God prays for us. In fact, after Jesus died and he rose to heaven, we learn that he is interceding, or he is advocating, or he is pleading the Father on our behalf. So what is Jesus doing? He is praying for his disciples that they would have faith to weather the storm, that they would keep their eyes upon him. You know, I think what happens in life is not that people don't have faith. I think sometimes our faith just gets misplaced. And we place our faith maybe in ourselves, in a possession, in some earthly idol. And our eyes get sidetracked from Jesus. And so in speaking to the disciples and telling them this miracle, as with most of the miracles, it is to encourage their faith, that they would keep their eyes upon Jesus. And then notice what happens as you come close to the end of the text. "And they were greatly amazed." They were amazed beyond measure, the text says. "And they marveled." Why? Because they did not understand the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Why? Because their hearts were not hardened, but their hearts were petrified. And they were afraid. This morning, I think if there's a word for us this morning, it's this. is that you and I are invited to keep our eyes on Jesus, to look to him as the one who was able to help us walk on water, to the one who is victorious over the grave, the one who is God, and that amidst all that happens in life, is that you and I are able to be victorious in the storm of life. Because God is with you and he will not disappoint. He will not let you down. In every moment of every day, he will walk with you. He will uphold you and he will sustain you and he will encourage you so that our faith would be encouraged and that we can live by faith. God is good. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, easier said than done. And Lord, I think for most of us, it is so easy to get distracted, to get our eyes off of you and be caught up in the busyness of life, the storm. And Lord, we just simply need to be reminded that you are with us. And so this morning, if we're wrestling with that, Lord, I pray that either now or after the service, as people are going to be there to pray, that, Lord, you would speak and you would encourage us to put our eyes back on you. That like the disciples, Lord, and ultimately Peter, when he calls out to you to walk on water, that we would trust that in the midst of what doesn't make sense to us, that we would be able to walk with you. And knowing that although we don't understand it, we can't see how this can be of any good, that we would see you carrying us through the storm and that we would be victorious. Lord, thank you that we get to do that as a community of faith. Lord, we thank you that we get to not only do that here, but around the world. Lord, we continue to pray for the work of Phil and Janetta in Tanzania. We thank you, Lord, that if we've read their recent newsletter, that some rain has come, Lord, but it's still not what it should be. And Lord, we pray that much of the little harvest would be harvestable, that people would have enough food until the March rains. And that, Lord, that you would send the March rains, and Lord, that the rains would do what this last rainy season did not do. And Lord, you would produce an abundance of crops. That not only would there be food to nourish their bodies, crops to be made for income, but Lord, that you would do something in that their faith would be encouraged. And that you would continue to bless the work of Phil and Janetta, Lord. Not only in the area of agriculture, Lord, but the area of medicine. And we just pray that you would do an amazing thing. Or do we want to continue to pray for Bruce's brother, Lord? We thank you that the cancer the tumor is shrinking, Lord. We thank you that the doctors are amazed at what is happening and how quickly it is happening. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to shrink that tumor, and Lord, that ultimately you would remove that tumor and you would do a miraculous thing, that we would say, only God could have done this. And we just pray that you would do that in Bruce's brother's life, Lord, and in his body, that you would heal him. Lord, we pray for Dee Dee's mom as she recovers from a stroke. Lord, we pray too that you too would give clarity to the doctors and insights. We pray that even as we're praying now, Lord, that you would be strengthening her body, and that, Lord, you would restore her body, that you would restore her strength, that you would restore her health. And Lord, as Dee Dee communicates across the ocean, Lord, we just pray that you would give her a sense of calmness and peace and assurance that her mom is in your care, is in your hand as well. And Lord, we thank you for this man that I've been able to visit, Lord, and will visit again later this week. That, Lord, as he has asked that I would come and see him and sign his Bible, Lord, I don't know what that means, but, Lord, it would be an opportunity for me to open that Bible, and that we'd be able to explore your truth. And that, Lord, that this man may come to the place where he accepts you, that he truly would have the ability to face the storm. And so, Lord, as we think of your work here at Community Church, we thank you for the variety of ways in which you invite us to tell the story of faith. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust that you are going to do more than we ever ask or imagine, Lord, through the ministries of this church, Lord, that the story of faith would be told in our small group, which meets today, in our boys club, in our GEMS program, in our teen club, in our insight, in our drop-in, in our kids club program, or through the work of the deacons, through the leadership of the council, to our worship teams, that, Lord, together our faith would be encouraged and enriched, that we would echo together, "It is I. Be of good cheer," and that we would step out in faith, knowing that you will do more than we ask or imagine, so that our faith would be enriched and that your church would be built up. Thank you for your amazing love for us. In your name we pray. Amen.